Hello, podcast listeners. We know podcasts are a great way to catch up on a program that you may have missed on KSJE, and it's provided as a free service of this radio station. But you know, KSJE is now listener-supported, and so while you enjoy this podcast, we hope that you'll also take some time to join KSJE. Become a member today. It's quite easy to do. Just go to our website at ksje.com/support and pick the level of support that best matches your budget. Thanks again for listening. Here's your podcast. This program is supported by MyLabs, patient-ordered testing. San Juan Regional Medical Center is expanding its services to offer low-cost blood screenings year-round, now offering walk-in convenience to get the blood tests you want when you want them. MyLabs, patient-ordered testing, is available at the hospital's laboratory and the Outpatient Diagnostic Center on 30th Street in Farmington. With nearly 20 tests available, there's an option for everyone. MyLabs, patient-ordered testing, a wellness service of San Juan Regional Medical Center. Well, now let me turn to my guests who are here in the studio with us this morning, and we welcome back to the KSJE microphones and welcome to our new visual radio studio, Deputy Aztec Superintendent Tanya Prokop. Good morning.
Morning, Scott. Good to be here this morning.
Thank you for being with us and experiencing all that
all the newness.
A visit to KSJE brings these days, right?
It's a great studio, Scott. It really looks wonderful.
Well, thank you. And thank you for being here. And we think this will hopefully help with more engagement for our community. And we're looking forward to all the cool things that we can do with this new space. So thank you for being here.
Absolutely.
Also here in the studio for his very first time, Jonathan Acri is here. He's Exceptional Programs Director with Aztec Schools. Jonathan, good morning to you.
Good morning. How's it going?
Very well. Thank you for coming in. And
thank you for having me.
Appreciate you being here as well. We've been kind of, you and I have been kind of geeking out a little bit about this equipment earlier.
So. Oh, I think it's absolutely amazing. I'm in love with you guys' new location here. And the setup you have is just exceptional.
Thank you. Well, thank you. And we hope it's just the first step of many that we can take and serve the community even better. And that's what local radio is all about. So it's great to have you both here to talk about some of the things happening in Aztec schools. And Tanya Prokop, one of the things is this new Aztec preschool that has been developed at the Aztec School District that is open now this fall, right?
Absolutely. First time ever. We're in the business of educating kiddos, so it only made sense that we put in for a grant so that we could open up our doors to real little ones, some preschool kiddos. And I'm really going to turn it over to Jonathan. He was the one that was in charge of writing the grant and kind of quarterbacking the whole event throughout the district. And then, of course, Superintendent Carpenter gave his blessings to all that work.
Yeah. Very good. Mr. Acri, talk to me a little bit about that. So this is up and running, and you wrote the grant. This is something new then for the school district.
It is. So what we are doing is we're working to make sure that we have preschool available for all kiddos. And one of the things that we were really, really focused on was, you know, research shows really clearly that preschool helps make sure that kiddos have a really great start to school. And so as we were looking ahead at what we could do to help better our district and our community, it felt like preschool was something that we could focus on. So what we did was we ended up partnering with some of our local businesses who also offer pre-K services. And we kind of looked at where was the gap that businesses weren't able to cover in the community. And then what we did was we worked on writing a grant to kind of fill that gap. The goal was to just make sure we were doing right by our folks and getting education in place for our kiddos. And oh gosh, so far I think we're off to a great start. I'm pretty proud of what we've got pulled together here.
Nice. How many spots do you have at preschool?
So currently we have 80 slots open, and in addition to the 80 slots, we also are servicing and working to make sure that we're meeting the needs of any little kiddos who may also have disabilities. And so we have some more flexible seating for students who have special needs so that we can kind of scale our program up if necessary.
Got you. And Tanya Prokop, how important is it to have something like this for families in Aztec and to really, I guess, help some of these younger students get ready for kindergarten?
Sure. So our program, along with the other programs that offer this in the community, what's really neat about our program is if you have other siblings that are in school, So the whole family is getting ready for school, and they're all coming, and they're all Tigers, and they're all going to school together. So you've got the kiddo that's in pre-K along with the kindergartner and the fourth grader and maybe the middle school student, and they're all coming to school together. It's also working with our curriculum. So you're working with the same curriculum from pre-K all the way up. You know, a lot of times Kirk reminds the community that we're all former coaches. Many of us are former coaches. So it's almost like that athletic analogy of building the team. And so you start out with the fundamentals as it works its way through the whole way. And it's also, they're at the same school. So our preschool is held at Lydia Rippey Elementary and McCoy. Mm-hmm. So when that kiddo starts out at the age of 3, 4, they'll stay at that same school all the way through till third grade. And so just that consistency. There's also research that shows that transitional years, when you go from third grade to fourth grade, which is a different school, and then from fifth grade to sixth grade, which is another movement of schools, there's always some setback. There's always a little bit of a setback. And so I think it's really neat that a kiddo coming in at age 3 stays at that same school, sees that same faculty, works with the same principal and leadership. It's really a sense of family, the school family. So from the age of 3 all the way up to like the age of 9, 10, they're at the same place. So that consistency.
Interesting. And by having this as part of the Aztec School District, I guess it gives you a bit more control over the instruction, some of the programs, some of the activities that are happening at the preschool?
Absolutely. We're building our bench, right? And so everything that the preschool does, it's preparing them for kindergarten. Everything that kindergarten's doing, it's preparing them for first grade. So exactly what you said, Scott. You know, these shows have really shown me how equipped you are in the world of education. Well, you've got the lingo down, and you've got everything going.
It's only taken 11 years, but thank you. Thanks for your patience with me.
Absolutely, not a problem.
But that's important. And Jonathan, I mean, talk to me a little bit about this whole project then. I mean, it was a grant-funded program, right, and now it's up and running. And so are there plans to maybe do this for more spots or to expand it, or just wait and see how this first group does?
That's a really great question. So from the get-go, the plan was to really make sure that we were filling that gap and making sure that every kid in our community in Aztec had an opportunity to be able to have access to free preschool. Now that we've achieved that, really right now what we're focusing on is making sure that program is as polished and high quality as possible. And then from there, as time goes on, if we continue seeing that need, a gap in need, then we plan to expand to make sure we fill that gap. But the goal has always been to just make sure that we're partnering with our community to just get those needs met.
Right, right. And just because this is a new program with Aztec Schools doesn't mean that it's a preschool program for students going into Aztec Schools. It's been around for a long time. And so you've seen what that can do for your incoming kindergartners,
I
suppose.
You bet. They come in at a whole different level, just that ready for school. And it's not that homes aren't preparing kiddos. It's so much more than that. It's instruction as a whole group. So it's learning almost the etiquette of a classroom, of mm-hmm. getting into line, being a quiet line, walking down hallways, sitting as a group.
Which most
on
don't
the
have
rug.
To do at home.
Right. Absolutely not.
Before they get
right?
to kindergarten. Right.
Right? And so it's really that, just that schoolroom etiquette. And you know, if you're having a bad day and you walk into a preschool classroom, I mean, I don't even
How can
hold,
your bad day continue after
it,
that?
It doesn't, it's right? Wonderful. And I don't even hold back. I just get on the rug with them and play with blocks. And, you know, I walk out just a little bit better human.
Right.
But it's really, you know, even when you talk about it, you can't help but kind of grin and have a happy face. It's the same way with kindergarten and all those early ages. The excitement for coming to school and learning and, you know, they're just kind of growing up and they're also positive. The other thing in our district is all the teachers and educational assistants, they're all licensed. So they've got the educational background, they've got the license from the public education department. And it wasn't hard to fill those vacancies.
No.
Staff were excited. Existing staff was looking for a transfer. They were not hard positions to fill in the district at all.
Well, probably for the reasons you give. It brightens your day when you're dealing with those.
You just smile.
Absolutely.
That could be. Yeah. And Jonathan, these are, they're not there for the full day, right? This is a shorter...
No, it's a half-day program, yeah. So one of the things that we did as we started the process of putting the program together was we ended up surveying parents in our community. And when we did that, one of the things that we asked was whether we saw that a half-day program would be more beneficial or a full day. And kind of overwhelmingly, we had a lot of folks in our community come back and say, you know, half-day seems more appropriate to focus on preschool, to focus on those learning-to-learn skills that, mm-hmm. that Tanya talked about. And so the using that advice, we went ahead and framed our program around that rather than, you know, stretching it to a full day, which then starts to feel a little more like daycare and less like preschool and prepping our kids to learn.
Right. But that's important to have that community input, I suppose,
as you're
putting something brand new like this together.
Well, and we really leaned on that community input quite a bit because one of the key things for us is, again, we were committing that the plan was with this to do right by our folks. And so having their voice help guide us in that process, we felt was really essential. And so we went ahead and put those surveys out. We reviewed and pored over those surveys and kind of dissected a lot of that information. And then with that, used the feedback that we received to really guide the direction that we were going. And really, I appreciate actually the feedback that we got from the community. It was exceptional. I've surveyed for a number of things in my time in the office, and this was one that we got an overwhelming response back on. I had a wealth of information to work with, and it was really exciting.
Very good. And this is all since when? You started working on this beginning of summer, or how long have you known about this grant?
A great question. So, please, as my boss, don't judge me too terribly much. I have what I call Friday projects. And I call them Friday projects because, you know, Friday at about 3 o'clock, I'm still at work, and I'm a public employee, so it's important to me to make sure that I continue working and do right by taxpayers and that kind of thing. But sometimes I'm not really feeling my regular day-to-day project, and so
that'll be reflected in your next year.
Oh no! so preschool started off as my Friday project.
I see.
And what it was just this idea as I started really looking at district information and going, where can we do better? And as I kind of stumbled upon preschool, I got excited about it and started talking with Ms. Prokop and Mr. Carpenter and other folks in district. And as we continued talking, it kind of started to gain momentum and a life of its own. And we started that back in, August or so, right about a year ago.
Okay.
And then really, really started to get momentum on the project about February of this last year. So, and then once it got momentum, there was so many folks who were, you know, while Ms. Prokop appropriately said I helped kind of put the grant together, the reality is there was so many folks who were helping me out along the way. I had Ms. Engelhart,
curriculum and instruction.
Goodness right. gracious, why could I not get a hold of that?
That's all right.
Curriculum instruction director, she was just amazing and helped me pull information together. Mr. Laws, our transportation director, oh my goodness, I would show up with weird stuff saying, all right, we need to add a whole slew of kids to our routes. And every time he wouldn't even bat an eye. We'll figure it out. We'll make sure we're getting kids back and forth to school and we'll do it in a timely manner. And Mr. Banish, our director of operations, I showed up, you know, we're going to need to start considering overhauling a playground and getting things set up for kiddos and maybe looking at adjusting fencing. And again, didn't bat an eye. Absolutely, we'll get going on that. So lots of folks contributed to make it a reality. And over the course of this last year, we just kind of incrementally worked on it and iterated on the project until it became a reality.
Very good. Well, and it just goes to show how many different moving parts there are to a project like this. And Tanya Prokop, again, for the school district, for the administration to be able to support something like this, I guess it helps when it's paid for. Or
yeah.
their funding source or something with a grant or something, because there's not
Absolutely.
A lot of dollars rolling around school districts these days in New Mexico.
Sure, and Kirk is really great at talking about the funding for public education. And, you know, our enrollment numbers aren't quite where we'd like them to be. So, you know, that'll kind of hit us next school year. So anytime you can qualify and receive funding outside of your piggy bank, It's definitely kind of a breath of fresh air and kind of a load off of your shoulders as well.
And does that ensure that this program will continue if the grant funding continues?
It should, yes.
Okay.
So the idea is that now once the startup costs a lot of times for a program in school is the thing that is the biggest hurdle to get past. Not always, but generally that's kind of the biggest hurdle.
Sure.
And so once we've been able to get past that initial startup, then generally speaking, things start to kind of become self-sustaining. So as we were working on this project, that was another individual who helped me quite a bit is Evelyn Garcia, our finance director. And oh my goodness, spent a lot of hours sitting in her office, picking her brain about how we could make sure that this was something that as long as the state continued having dollars, we would be able to continue doing.
Good.
And I like the words that Jonathan used about self-sustaining. I think that any time an organization puts into place something new, you always have to be mindful of what if.
Right.
Right. And if it's important enough, how would we continue to sustain it? And I think the numbers that are coming in and Jonathan's use of some different funding entities that qualify, it always helps that, okay, if we have to break into our own piggy bank, how's that going to look? And will we be able to do it? So it's always definitely in the forefront when you put yourself out there.
Very important. My guest this morning from the Aztec Municipal School District, we are talking with Deputy Superintendent Tanya Prokop and also Exceptional Programs Director Jonathan Acree. And there's a lot more topics to discuss this morning, but we have to take a short break. So we're going to do that. When we come back, though, there is a new app that is being introduced to students in school districts throughout San Juan County, as a matter of fact. We're going to talk about that and some other topics as well. So back with my guest with more in just a moment here on KSJE. The time is 8:32. KSJE is supported by San Juan Regional Medical Center, your community hospital with a rich heritage that dates back to before New Mexico was a state. We've been improving the health of the Four Corners since 1910. As a nonprofit hospital, San Juan Regional Medical Center is a values-driven organization. We strive to deliver on our mission to personalize health care and create vitality and enthusiasm in healing. We are here for you when you need us, offering a comprehensive range of inpatient, outpatient, and emergency care services. I'm Scott Micklin, my guest on the radio this morning from the Aztec School District. Deputy Superintendent Tanya Prokop is with us this morning. Once again, good morning and thank you for being here.
Morning, Scott. Thanks for having us.
Good to have you here. Also, Jonathan Acree is here. He is the Exceptional Programs Director with Aztec Schools. Good morning to you.
Good morning.
And we should mention that Mr. Carpenter is on some much-needed R&R outside of district this morning.
Yeah, I thought I thought we were going to talk about his secret mission, but
well, yeah. I didn't get the dossier before we came on this morning, so we'll just have to wrap that up next month, maybe.
Absolutely,
we can talk about that.
He's on some well-deserved vacation time.
Very good. We could have Skyped him in if he had Wi-Fi, but I don't think that's even
not
maybe
where
possible.
He's at, I don't think, yeah.
It's okay, but we'll try next time. Before the break, we were talking a little bit about the new preschool program with the Aztec School District, and I wanted to also mention this new app that has been introduced to Aztec schools and all the other schools in the county, as a matter of fact. That's really hopeful for some good things, and it's already proving to be, I think, useful. Talk to me a little bit about that.
Absolutely. So with any event comes curses and blessings. And so one of the things that has come out of the events of December 7th is just more vigilance for safety. But also just the idea of health and safety and almost like this bigger picture of preventative.
Mm-hmm.
And it's bigger than just Aztec USA. And so Grant Banish went out and was looking at anonymous reporting systems. And we have to think about the century that we're in and the tools that people use now more than little boxes where you drop an envelope or a piece of paper for a reporting system. And so there's an organization, Sandy Hook Promise, and they have lots of different things available.
And that grew out of their incident.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm.
So
right?
Again, it's this idea of blessings and curses. And so looking at what they had to offer, they have an app called Say Something. And Mr. Carpenter may have spoken about it last month, but since that radio show, it's gone full rollout. And so it's an app that all the districts in San Juan County are using. And it's growing bigger than us, and we're hoping that it's going to be all the school districts in the state of New Mexico. And I think that would be great because of the consistency. Mm-hmm. So as people move in different communities or students move to different schools, no matter where in the state, this opportunity for either self-reporting and asking for help or knowing that somebody's in distress, that they could anonymously report, is wonderful to have, and that it wouldn't be something brand new no matter where you're at. So it's really interesting how it works, because there's a call center, if you may, even though it's all kind of online, that takes
so it's mostly
these,
through text, I guess, or things exactly. like that through the app, right? Not necessarily phone call.
Right. So that's, I guess you call it a text center. I mean, I don't even know.
No,
what the,
I follow you. I know what you're saying. But there are people that are standing by
absolutely,
when these things come in.
Actually trained professionals. And if it's a person that's self-reporting, that they're thinking of harming themselves in any way, all of a sudden this communication begins between an experienced, licensed person from Florida engaging with who's ever in crisis and talking them through things. During that communication, it's decided the tier of emergency that it would be in. And so at the same time that communication is happening, local and either law enforcement or school district officials are notified as well to help get help there as this is happening. And it's all coming from Florida, which is just, for somebody that's a little bit old-fashioned, it's just amazing and wonderful on how it all works.
Right, right.
And so the reason why they need the school district sometimes is to find the adult, to find contact numbers, possibly to find addresses, as sure. everybody's kind of zeroing in on the person in crisis.
Interesting. And so this has been rolled out now for just a couple of weeks, I think, at Aztec Schools.
Yeah, it sure has. And we've got some different people that are in the leads of it. So definitely it's only high school and middle school at this point.
Mm-hmm.
There's a different program that we're looking at that'll encompass some work with our elementary kids. But phase one is working with high school and middle school. So that's been rolled out. We've had parent night. It was actually hosted graciously up here at the high school or at the college. And all the area superintendents, families were invited to that. You have different lead people in a school district. So Jonathan is one of the leads in our district, as well as our transportation director and Superintendent Carpenter. And then naturally, the administrative staff at each school and the mental health folks at each school. So that's our counselors and our social workers.
Right.
So Jonathan, if you could kind of speak to, from your end, how that whole process is working.
Yeah, absolutely. So what we wanted to do was make sure that folks were trained so they understood how to be able to receive information. And so we actually did a lot of kind of front loading of training for our team and district so that folks were ready to go as soon as the app launched. One of the things that was really, really key is, you know, as kiddos are seeking help, sometimes they don't know where to turn to, and it's easy for them to go ahead and access this app. So then on our side as a school district, if the app ends up seeing a need to notify us of a situation, then as that information comes through, we've worked out internally with administration and mental health folks in district on how we're going to make sure that we're catching kids and providing support, conducting investigations, communicating with parents, those sorts of things, so that we're really looking into that information.
Interesting. And many times we outside maybe the school district, but in the media or just in the community here, that, you know, kids talk to other kids, they hear things, they maybe know things, or even if they don't come to fruition, they have heard about things, whatever those things are, and to have a way to maybe have someone report something if they know it's wrong, if they can do it anonymously or just let somebody else know. We hear that a lot about maybe school resource officers, and that's why they're so important to have around schools and having a good relationship with students and things like that. Is this all part of that type of thinking?
Exactly. And that's why I think the app is called what it is, Say Something.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and so many times people worry about telling anyone because they worry about the recourse or what might happen to them. So that anonymous ability is really important. Sometimes you have a tug of war inside when it comes to reporting anonymously, because you always there's always just this little seed that says, I hope somebody doesn't just report something anonymously for whatever thrill it might give them, and there's nothing there.
Right. Sure.
So that's why it's really interesting that the center that receives these calls knows how to kind of unravel to see exactly.
Is it legitimate call or
and how big of an emergency is it? So they're very trained in doing this, and that, lack of a better word, that burden isn't on us on that one. This is somebody's
right.
trained. And they will even push back on you a little bit, because there are these certain key people can be part of the conversation.
Right.
Communication is just such a different way of looking at it.
Sure.
But they will push back and say, this isn't the time where you get involved. Let us handle it. And it's done in such a way that whoever's in crisis isn't seeing that part of the communication. Even though everybody else is getting text messages throughout, so they're in the loop and knowing what's going on, still that basic communication is happening from the individual in Florida to whoever's in crisis. Everybody else can kind of see it, and they're not engaging. We need to leave it to those professionals at that moment. We're all
right.
professionals in different degrees of it, depending what the picture rolls out to look like. But as you stated earlier, that whole idea, if it doesn't feel right, if it doesn't sound right, tell someone. And this is that avenue where anybody can download this app and say something.
Well, I think it's genius, too, because we all know kids are really attached to their phones, if not mm-hmm. biologically. It seems like they are sometimes.
Absolutely.
Those things never leave their hands, it seems, for some of them. And so to have that right there, and I would assume then for parents maybe who are listening to us this morning, or students, to have that conversation if they haven't already. And I know the district's done a great job of rolling this out and getting information out to all parents in the district. But for whatever reason, and I suppose even if you're not part of a school district, maybe you're homeschooling your child, this would still be a valuable app to have on your kid's phone.
Absolutely. And on your own phone,
right.
As an adult, because there's different things that you may want to report. You may have something to report about something going on in your neighborhood, any animal cruelty. There's a lot of different choices when you go in there of what it is that you feel that you need to report.
Okay. Good to know. And again, this is the app is free.
Absolutely.
For people to download from their usual App Store, Play Store, Android, Apple, whatever your phone is, right?
Absolutely. And in addition to, their website also has, as if you just search Say Something, on any web browser,
mm-hmm.
you'll find their website, and you can actually complete anonymous reporting through that as well. So
if you don't have a phone or not access to your phone.
Exactly. Gotcha. Exactly. So there's a number of different avenues to be able to get there, and it all ends up funneling into the same location. And I mean, to kind of piggyback on what Ms. Prokop was saying, one of the key things that we've seen already is that we're getting a wide variety of reports coming in, from things as simple as I'm kind of concerned because I think this kid's cheating, to the other side of the universe where there's real life safety concerns. And ultimately, the thing that's been great about it is it's ended up, I think, kind of empowering our students to have a voice so that we can then do what we need to do to help them out.
Very good. Well, I'm afraid we are out of time this morning, everybody, but we had some other things to talk about, which we'll have to talk about next month when you
Sounds
come back,
great.
Ms. Prokop. So I hope that means you'll be back.
Absolutely.
All right. Thank you both very much for being here.
Thanks
Thank
for
you.
Having us.
You're very welcome. My guest from Aztec Schools here on KSJE. Did you enjoy that podcast? We hope that you did. And if you did, share it with your friends. And if you really want to keep podcasts like this coming, please support KSJE. You can do it easily online at ksje.com.